My name is Dick Kerner, and I'm here to do an interview with a longtime friend of mine, Dan Gerhart. And we're going to do a sturgeon history interview with some stories from Dan's past on Lake Winnebago. So at this point, Dan, I'm going to ask, where and when were you born?
I was born in Nina in 1940. I lived there until about 95, 96, and then I moved to Pine River, Wisconsin. Fished Lake Winnebago most of my life.
How did you get interested in sturgeon spearing?
When I was a little boy, my dad took me out and he speared years ago. I'm talking back to the late 40s and early 50s, and he died in probably 70. But he took me out as a small boy, and I just was just couldn't believe what was going on out on the lake, and being by those old guys, Frank Weisenstein and Freddie Whitpen and Wollenberg.
Woody Rabideau,
yeah, all these guys. And I used to go out and sit in their shanties with them, and Dad sat in his own shanty, and I'd go around and visit with these guys. And I was just fascinated by the smell of the inside of the shanty. And of course, at that time, there was wood stoves. And if somebody did get a fish, you could smell the fish slime on the floor. And I was just mesmerized by it.
Dan, do you ever do any hook and line sturgeon?
Yes, fishing? I do. In fact, I ran set line, 100 hook set line on Lake Winnebago. And of course, once in a while, you'd get tangled up with a sturgeon, and they actually were a pain in the neck because all they did is make a mess. One morning, I went out and I had 7 sturgeon on, and the line was so wound up, and I just had one horrible time trying to get those things off the line. Matter of fact, this is 2007. I'm going up to Yellow Lake fishing in September with 3 other guys for a week.
Well, that's good. I've done that myself, and it is fun. And you say your dad basically taught you how to spear?
Yeah. We had the old water pipe spears, 1-inch water pipe with one rope running up the shaft of the water pipe and the other rope on the end of the water pipe so you could get the spear handle back up. And I can remember when my first fish came in, it was in probably 1956 or 57. I picked up, when it came in off the right-hand corner out in the front, I picked up the spear, and I was shaking so bad I could hear the head rattle on the spear, but those were pretty primitive spears. And I was always told that you throw the spear. So I reared back and I let her go. And it didn't help that I had my brother-in-law in the shanty, Kenny Fisher, and he is, there he is, get him, and I was so pumped up because it was the first fish I ever saw in a hole, and when I let her go, I drilled it right into the ice, and of course that fish got away. I can still picture that fish to this day, and I'm 67 years old.
Dan, how has the sport changed since you started spearing? Do you like the new rules?
Oh, my. Well, back years ago, it was pretty free out there. I mean, it was not uncommon to run a fish off now and then, and because the fines were small and nobody seemed to care. But now, with the fines so high, it's not worth it. It just is not worth running off a fish. Actually, when I think back at how I used to work 311, I'd drive over to Nimitz's Faro Springs across the lake and cut a hole in the ice at midnight because I, quote-unquote, found a hot spot. So I'd cut a hole at midnight so that I could fish the next morning. And we'd cut these holes by hand with a chisel. And now, if they want to preserve the sturgeon, just make a rule that you cannot use any mechanical device except for a chisel, and then you will have 50% of these people won't spear.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of work back in then. You just didn't have the equipment that you do now. You can move in a matter of an hour.
Yeah.
You could probably move from one side of the lake in an hour. So, but it has changed.
And you've been spearing for 50 years. You got a lot of memories in.
Yes, I do.
In those 50 years, and can you think offhand? Did you keep track of how many fish you speared approximately?
Lots. Lots. I've never been able to get a big fish. The top three fish that I got were 72 pounds, all of them. And I've never speared a fish over 72 pounds.
Have you ever missed any?
Oh, yeah. Well, I just told you that I missed the one, my first one. And yeah, and yeah, in fact, I missed one 3 years ago. I don't know what happened, but it came in and it went underneath the decoy and I lost sight of it. When I put the spear down, a bunch of bubbles came up off the spearhead, and yeah, I missed that one. But I haven't missed too many.
Did you ever have any on and lost it? Fought?
No. Any fish that I hit, I've always got.
Well, you know, the goal is 100-pound fish for everybody. It's an unwritten law, and you're pushing 3/4 of that.
Yeah, 100 plus is what a guy is looking for.
And I haven't got one either yet, but close. And I know this answer, I think, but I like to ask this question. If you could only spear for 2 hours a day, what 2 hours would you choose? And I know when we had all day seasons,
yeah,
I think I know what you're going
to
say.
I'm going to say 8 to 10.
I knew that. Because you always like that early.
I like that 8. I speared more fish between 8 and 9 o'clock than I did any other time, I think.
And I speared more fish between 11 and 1 than I have at any other time. And that's my favorite time. But I like to ask that.
But I'll tell you what. I threw my back out, and I went the last day of the season. I went over to the north end of the lake, and I borrowed a shanty. And I just wanted to get in a couple more hours. And when I was on the way out there, I was coming down Oak Street, and there was a kid, a long-haired kid, which I normally don't pick up, but I pulled over. He was hitchhiking. And I picked him up, and he said his grandma was dying in the hospital, so I ran right straight to Theodore Clark, and on the way, I got picked up for speeding. And the cop eventually let me off, make a long story short. So I dropped his kid off, and then I headed out to the lake. Well, I crawled in the shanty, and I wasn't in there 45 minutes, and one came right through underneath the floor. His front fins were sticking out, and I stuck it. It was 42 pounds. And I got over to Waverly to register it, and Dan Foles was over there, the fish manager. And he says, "Oh, yeah, right, Gerhard. You were out there for 2 hours, and you speared a fish." And I says, "Well, believe it or not, but I did." But several guys said that I could spear a fish if I opened a manhole downtown Neenah.
I see you got a magazine there with a picture of you and I on the cover there. We were checking for redworms.
Yeah.
And do you believe in that real wholeheartedly that you got to have a spot on the lake where there's redworms?
I think it helps, but now with the gizzard shad, all the dead gizzard shad all over the lake, I think that's taken something away from them. And also, the redworm have kind of dwindled over the years. We don't have near the lake flies that we used to, but I understand it's on the upswing now.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a cycle type thing.
And some people believe in checking, and that's what you and I were doing that time, and we did check for redworms, but when they were plentiful, it seemed like they were all over the lake anyway. And
I think that fish run in schools, sturgeon run in schools, and once you get onto them, that if you keep, just by word of mouth, keep track of who's spearing what and where and when, and I think you can probably kind of hang with a school.
Okay, now, can you name another one of your most memorable experiences while while being out there?
Yeah, I was sitting out on the outer bar, and I had a fish come in that was suspended. That's the only fish that I ever had suspended. It came in about 4 feet under the ice, and it was moving at a snail's pace. It just barely moved, and it was so black. And usually when a fish is down a little bit, it's a greenish yellow. And anyway, this fish was really high, and it was just crawling along. And I leaned back in the shanty because I didn't want to spook it. And when it got into the center of the hole, I just very slowly, about as slow as that fish was moving, I was moving through the spear. And I leaned back and I speared it. And it was that one was 57 pounds. But I've never, ever had another fish come in suspended like that.
Yeah. You and I both know that this lake can change in a few minutes, winter or summer. You ever had any bad experiences with the weather?
Oh, yeah.
Weather conditions on the ice? And I can tell you one I can remember.
Don, old-timer Peterson and I, in a blizzard, decided we were going to go. Our shanties were across the lake in front of Nimitz's Faro Spring. And we decided we were going to go across the lake. And we were onto the fish, and we wanted to get to the shanties, so we jumped on the snowmobiles, and we started across the lake. Well, I took four oranges with me, and I had them in my pocket of my snowmobile suit. And we went across the lake, and everybody, at the end of the day, we never did find our shanties. We finally found a shanty with somebody in it, and we stopped and tried to figure out where we were, and we were close. We were very close to our shanties, but we had just moved them in the next day, so we weren't real familiar with what shanties were around us. So anyway, while we were in that shanty, a guy missed one. And then I was really hot to find the shanty, but we never did. And Danny Wallerstein picked us up. We left the snowmobiles at Faro Springs because the blizzard increased. But Danny Wallerstein gave us a ride around the lake to come back home. And he said when he came across the lake, he found three out of the four oranges.
Oh.
Yeah, it was kind of like a small trail of oranges.
Here's one that I think I know the answer to because I know you a little bit. Do you have any particular color coaxer that you like to
use? Oh, yeah. I know Johnny Jurgensen is always, he's always yellow, yellow, yellow. And me, it's mint green and red. Yeah. And although I've had probably a smorgasbord down there, but right now my main decoy is mint green.
Yeah. Well, any other stories you'd like to mention?
Some of the funny stuff that goes on out in the lake. I can remember one time I was with my brother, and we had stopped at Paints Point Tavern. And the ice was slick as a whistle. It had rained, and there was no snow on the ice. And we went out to visit Dick Pano. Dick Pano had a big red shanty with an eight ball on it. And so we drove up, and my brother was driving. And like I say, we had a few beers under the belt. And my brother Dave drove up to Dick's shanty. Only when he got to the shanty, he couldn't stop. And he blasted Dick's shanty right off the hole. And Dick had a kerosene stove in there, and the pipes fell apart. And when he opened the door and he looked out, all you could see was the whites of his eyes. Everything else was soot. So, and then, of course, one day my brother Dave and I were going out perch fishing, and we went by Dick Gruner's shanty, and my brother didn't have a muffler on his Volkswagen. And when we went by Dick's shanty, we kind of rode the banking and let the clutch out. It went bingity bang bang bang, and Dick come piling out of his shanty and fell on the ice. And also we went into Dick's shanty one day, and I said, "Hey Dick, your shanty is sitting crooked on the hole." So the radio was playing away, so he said, "Well, let's go out and straighten it." So we went outside and kind of butted the shanty a little bit, but when we got inside, it was pretty silent in there. Come to find out, Dick's radio was on the bottom of the lake.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, Dan, when you do get a fish, a lot of different ways of preparing it. What's your choice? favorite.
I like, well, now that I live over in Pine River, I do a lot of cooking over the wood. And I do like basting them with butter and lemon and do them over the wood fire. Either that or I put them under the broiler. But I'll tell you what, some of the best sturgeon, one of the best sturgeon I've ever eaten was over at Dick and Elsie Shavers at Winneconne. And Elsie pan-fried that fish in butter in a frying pan, and then she put it in a Nesco. And my goodness, that was the best fish I think I've ever had.
Mm-hmm. A lot of different
ways. And of course, we smoked. I smoked for years, and smoked sturgeon is very good. And one time I was 65, I was going to Canada, and I wanted to take a half a sturgeon up there. And so I started my smokehouse up, and I smoked a half a sturgeon, and from the rear end up to the head, and just a slab on the one side. And so I left it in the smoker to cool. My kids and the neighbor kids got in there, and they started eating this smoked fish. And of course, the smoked fish is very rich. And all of a sudden, I had a whole neighborhood full of sick kids because they ate too much.
Dan, what do you enjoy the most about sturgeon spearing?
Camaraderie, getting together with the guys, but I do like the solitude of sitting by myself. I don't like to sit with anybody else. But when I do, like I used to, now I got my own sturgeon on a shanty. I bought Old Timer Peterson's shanty and rebuilt it, and so now I've got a decent shanty, and I've had a number of shanties over the year, but I just really like going out and sitting by myself, but then I also like talking sturgeon and listening to different guys and experiences. And
well, Dan, unless you got another short story.
Not really, but I've sturgeon speared since I was a little kid, and I still have the desire, and I just love the sport. It really is. I'm a little sorry that there's too many people out there. It's too mechanical, it's too easy to set up a shanty, but that's progress, and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah. Well, Dan, you got the same thoughts and interests as I do, and over the years we've done a lot of things together, fishing and hunting and spearing and so forth. So I sure wanted to appreciate your time doing this interview, and I want to thank you for your time coming over all the way from Pine River to do this. And at this point, this is the end of the interview. Thanks again.
Okay, well, thanks for asking me.